Thanks for listening to D-Mac and I on the Drive. Derek Wolf here for Great Range Premium Bison, my choice for sustainable, delicious, and healthy meat. It's available at local grocery and club stores, or you can order online at Amazon.com. Learn more at GreatRangeBison.com.
You want me to apologize? I'm not apologizing.
Matt Smith, who's been doing a great job filling in for D-Mac, and Derek Wolf sitting down. What's up, Wolfie?
What's happening, man?
Do you know about those violations he allegedly committed?
Wasn't it like a burger?
That was one of them.
Wait, and who are we talking about?
Harbaugh.
Oh, okay.
Remember we were talking about those violations last week? The other one is allegedly they had recruits in while a quality control coach was down on the field doing one-on-one workouts.
Right.
Dumb.
So, if you're Jim, that's why you're not giving me a contract?
Right. And just to take it a little bit further, I think that there was an investigator from the NCAA who went in to investigate, and Harbaugh was like, dude, I'm not cooperating with this little charade that you got going on.
Right.
He wasn't as transparent or truthful. That's the accusation on the heels of what Matt just shared. So,
he might just finally be fed up with it. And if Michigan didn't want to give him a new deal, then
you already still don't get along with your AD.
Right, you still want to do right by Michigan, and it could be, you know, a Thursday morning type of get out of town.
Oh, right after signing day?
Yeah.
To your alma mater. You welcome back in Ann Arbor after
that? No, but he's doing them a favor.
By waiting till signing day?
Yeah, because he's getting people to – he's bringing in recruits.
You're trapped.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Well, really? Yeah. Not trapped. They could jump in the portal next year.
Exactly. True.
But maybe they love it there, you know?
They're not trapped anymore, right?
Right. I mean, at this point, those kids could just up and leave if he did that. Which is kind of what I think might end up happening, because there's a lot of options available. Very attractive options. You come play for Prime up in Boulder. That's a great option.
There you go.
That's a great option.
Hey, guess what? Greg Penner can just bring them all up on the plane. Harbaugh and then the recruits that want to come play at Boulder. Just bring a few recruits with you, Jim. How about that?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Would you rather play for Prime or would you rather play for Harbaugh?
Prime.
Exactly.
You know, it just depends what type of kid you are, I think.
Yeah.
Prime.
And like what kind of offense.
Let me help you. It's Prime.
What kind of offense you're looking for. I mean, Michigan's more of a run-first football team. We'll see exactly what the CU offense looks like. But I think for me personally, I would definitely rather be at CU.
Yeah. Well, because you're a sane and rational thinking individual. That's why you'd want to play for Prime.
That's right.
It just makes sense, Zach.
It's sexy. It's cool.
It is cool.
It's fun.
By the way, they had all sorts of Louis luggage up there this weekend for the next 2 years. It was the biggest recruiting weekend.
It was
underclassmen.
Yeah, junior
okay.
day.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, but they had some talent in Boulder. So
I believe it. You sent me some sort of graphic with all the stars and, you know, four star.
Look at what they did in 2 months. Imagine if they have any sort of success next year, what they're going to do with next year's class. It's exciting. It's exciting for sure. So where are you guys at right now? Where are we at right now? Stokely and Zach. Who do Stokely and Zach, A, feel is going to be the next coach, and B, want to be the next head coach?
I think they're the same answer, at least for me. It's either Sean Payton or it's Jim Harbaugh. I am back to where I was 2.5 weeks ago. I don't think there's a mystery candidate. I don't think they're expanding the search and hiring Jonathan Gannon or Brian Callahan. Reasonable minds can disagree on this, but I think with this ownership group, the way that it's gone, they're going to make some sort of power play somehow, some way for one of those two guys. And until that thing has a toe tag on it, right. I don't believe it's dead. And until I hear Sean Payton is going back to Fox, we never really come back to like the layers on like why, what was the true falling out between Sean Payton and the Broncos ownership group? Is it something tangible? Is it something that can't be fixed and managed with a conversation? So until one of those two guys is out, I still think they're both squarely in it.
Derek knows what it is. Derek already figured it out. You didn't hear about it? It was Condi with the rap sheet. That was what it was.
She pressed him.
He didn't like that.
That's why he thought there was going to be a power struggle.
But
I really think that. I think that she probably pressed him on all the off-field stuff and all the investigation stuff and all the suspension stuff and the bounty gate, all that stuff. I think that was all brought up, and he didn't like that.
I'm sure that was part of it.
You know, they didn't like that side of things. And, you know, look, I think it's fair to say that the league office doesn't like Sean Payton, you know, and there was a lot of felt like might maybe some leaks and some different reports. And where did those reports come from? And now are the Broncos able to kind of get over that a little bit more maybe than they were a week ago because you don't have many other options. So you're like, okay, yeah, we didn't like Bounty Gate. We didn't like this. We didn't like that. You know, maybe he's, you know, not the nicest guy in the building sometimes. And, you know, a week ago we didn't want to get over it. But now, like,
gotta
who
go
cares?
Home with somebody.
Who cares? Like, we need him. We need him now. So it's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting to see how it all kind of plays out and unfolds here in the next 48 hours.
And I'm going to use the phrase that we use actually leading up to Coach Prime's announcement at CU when we were speculating, could that be the case? And we were saying, right. Does CU really want to hire Prime? And the phrase that we use is, with some of this stuff, if you want to succeed at this, whether it's the highest NFL level or within college football, which is even more chaotic, you might have to plug your nose on a couple things.
Oh, yes.
And you just, like, how seriously do you want to take your football program? If you can't get Harbaugh, will you make concessions this week that you didn't want to make last week?
I mean, we're acting like Sean Payton's like the, I mean, we're not acting like, but the reports and stuff, all of a sudden you get caught up in the weeds as like, this dude isn't a bad guy.
Yeah, he's not.
He's not a bad guy. He's a great coach. Yeah. He's had a lot of success. Were there some bumps along the way? Yeah, there always is. There's always skeletons.
You do anything for long enough, you're going to have issues.
I guarantee you there is in Foxborough with Bill Belichick, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, look how many investigations they've had.
Exactly.
They just push it off on the players.
Right.
There you go.
And so, like, okay, are they really that big a deal? You know, I mean, who hadn't put out, you know, a few hundred bucks for taking someone out in a football field? I mean, it happens, right?
It happens.
You have a couple of violations, Stoke?
No. I mean, look at me.
No slaps on the wrist?
No.
Choir boy over there.
Yeah, look at me. I mean, I can't hit anybody, you know. So there was none of that. So where are y'all at right now in this search today as we kind of regroup again? And where are you at, Wolf?
Like, do I have to care?
Yes, you have to care. Mm-hmm. You have to care. We all have to care because it's an important decision here.
I'd rather have Harbaugh than Peyton.
Okay. Well, are you good with either one of
either
them?
Either one of them at this point is like, Dan Quinn was my guy. That's who I wanted. He's off the table, so now it's whatever. But between the two people that I think are the best candidates right now, Sean Payton and Jim Harbaugh, I think Harbaugh's the guy. I think he's the guy that can come in here and really change the culture.
He gave him two no's, though. That was twice.
Yeah. I told him to know their role.
I know,
shut their mouth.
You jabroni!
not like your buddy. We'll get into the Kelce Bowl because that was awesome. For me, I think it's pretty simple. You had two candidates, top tier A, you know, tier one candidates, Peyton and Harbaugh. Harbaugh gave you two no's. I think he's off the table, quite frankly.
I think he's coming here, man.
I don't think it's possible. But Rapoport did say the door was open. However, I question where he's getting his information from versus where Schefter's getting his information from, because Schefter's report that they did circle back with Harbaugh did not include that the door was still open.
Yeah, no, we spoke about that. There is definitely some differences in the reporting over the weekend between Rapoport and Schefter. We kind of talked our way through it. We have a tendency to more agree with Schefter, who's going to join you guys in the next 45 minutes. Can't miss radio. You got beef with Schefter, Wolfie?
I don't like him, dude. I don't.
Schefter? Why?
I don't like
why?
Him.
He's
about him. Something about him. There's something about him that just grinds my gears.
I love Schefter. I love him.
Every time I ask him a question, he acts like why would who hurt you to ask me a question?
Oh, I think you're reading too much into it.
No, dude.
I think you are.
He's guarding Schefter sometimes.
Yeah, let your guard down. Take a deep breath.
Schefter wolf beef.
But real quick.
Listen, I don't like him. I just don't. I think he never brings anything real. He just is all speculation.
Off subject here real quick. Because you said you like Dan Quinn.
Did like Dan Quinn.
Now, is there any chance, I know we got to get to break here, is there any chance that plane, like it did for Harbaugh, they just say, you know what, Harbaugh's done. Peyton's done. Like, we have got to get one of these top guys. We're going to fly to Fort Worth, and we're going to make Dan Quinn an offer.
I don't think Dan Quinn refused. Yeah, but I don't think Dan Quinn thing. Listen, if they go when having if the Cowboys have another 12-win season and don't go to at least an NFC Championship, they're going to get McCarthy out of there, and I think Dan Quinn's going to be next in line.
I think it's more because he's Peyton's guy, George Peyton. I don't think that's guilty by association. We don't want anything to do with you. George, you're already a dead man walking. Like, there's no chance this guy's going to stay around. I think at this point, to me, I've landed on where I've been the whole time. It has to be a guy with experience. It has to be somebody with a bit of a resume. I don't really care how he did in the interview. If you didn't vibe with him, all right, whatever. NFL head coaches are odd ducks. You know, these guys are not, you know, you don't just meet this type of person because he hasn't accomplished anything. There's ego here. So I think.
Well, listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. You're saying need to be experienced, need to be this, need to be that. If you can't get the first two guys, what are you going to do?
I don't think that's crazy.
You're right. If you can't get the first two guys, like, Harbaugh's done, man. Just say he's completely done. He's sold. And then Sean Payton's like, forget y'all. I don't like the way all these reports came out. I'm staying at Fox. I'll go take a job next year. What are you going to do?
And that's when Mike Kliss came on with us on Friday and talked about mystery candidate. And I know you said you don't know about that, but I don't know. He did walk it back. But
yeah. Slightly.
That was like, he's like, yeah, I know the reporting's been crazy out here, but look at the current. I'm like, wait, Mike, this was your report. You went on with Derek and Matt and said mystery candidate.
Absolutely. And the first thing I said was, hold on, Mike, what are you talking about? There's just all this news coming out. You were part of the reason that the news is coming out. But I think he might have been retorting the other report about Callahan and Gannon. Gotcha. I think that's what he was retorting. I was doing some more thinking about it, and I was like, wait a minute. You're going to walk back what you said 2 days after? Maybe somebody said something to him. Hey, Mike, mm-hmm. shouldn't have mentioned that, which I don't think that was what happened. It's innocuous, a mystery candidate. I mean, how much is he really going to be in trouble for that?
Mystery candidate.
Only here, man. I love it.
I think there's a real shot that there is. And let's dive into who some of those guys could be, because I spent the weekend thinking about it, and I want your take on it. We'll do it next. Matt Smith in for DMAC alongside Derek Wolf today on The Drive.
Jabroni.
What's up, guys? Derek Wolf here. If you're trying to plan out your holiday feast this year, I've got the plan for you. Bison meat from my friends at Great Range Premium Bison. Bison meat will add a unique flavor to everything from your holiday meals to your tailgate chili, and it's healthier than other red meats, too. It's flavorful, clean, and hearty with some nice, sweet-tasting undertones. I'm telling you guys, once you try it, you'll be hooked. Plus, you can check out tons of awesome recipes at greatrangebison.com. So pick some up today at your local grocery store. Trust me, you'll love the taste of Great Range Premium Bison this holiday season.
Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolf and D-Mac.
Dr. Dre is at the dope, ready to make an entrance, so back on up.
Before I have to pull the scrap off the cut, give me the microphone.
Matt Smith in for D-Mac on The Drive today alongside Derek Wolf. Happy Monday. Absolutely wild championship Sunday in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. We'll get into that here in a minute. We've got the Kelce Bowl. It's coming up, and I can't wait. We kind of had a bit of a downer in that first game yesterday. Brock Purdy gets hurt first drive for San Francisco, and that sucked. It just sucked because that pretty much eliminated any chance they had. And even still, I thought it was odd the way that Kyle Shanahan handled it. I felt like, man, I thought there was an opportunity to maybe get some other guys in there at the quarterback position early in that fourth quarter, at least try the Wildcat, right? At least give that a shot. But they didn't. They had Brock Purdy out there who couldn't throw and basically didn't give him any chance to win that football game in Philadelphia. I thought their passing offense specifically struggled a little bit, certainly. But look, that Philly running game showed up. 4 rushing touchdowns yesterday for the Eagles. And it was pretty much all Philly in that NFC title game. And then, of course, the night game was really where our money was made up. I mean, we got our money's worth in that night game between Cincy and KC for sure. And we've set up for what should be an awesome Super Bowl. I'm super excited about it.
Think, Derek? Kelce Bowl.
The Kelce Bowl, baby.
It's going to be great.
Are you fired up?
Yeah, dude, it's going to be awesome.
Because I know you were talking, and we talked on Friday, and I was trying to tell you that you don't talk smack like that.
Mm.
Like the dumbass Cincinnati mayor
Jabroni.
Talking about a paternity test. I knew that would have those boys Jabroni. Fired up, and it sure as hell did. And then what?
And you know what won? I'll tell you what won the game was that defensive line for Kansas City.
Oh, big time.
Chris Jones went ham. He went crazy.
Animal. And then did you hear him after the game talking about he prepared all offseason for that moment?
Yeah.
They were talking throughout the game about how he felt he had missed 2 sacks last year to put the game away against Cincinnati in the championship game.
Well,
last
he made him this year.
Made him this year. Made some huge plays.
Huge.
He was double teamed all day, all night.
It was like 31 out of 38 times.
Oh, and he was a beast. He was a beast.
Animal.
And honestly, Derek, in the playoffs, I always believe no matter what the sport is, your weaknesses will show up.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what. Even if you've tried to Band-Aid them.
Those 3 brand-new offensive linemen they had in there.
They finally came back to bite them. Burrow was hit 12 times, I think sacked 5 times. And they
4 times in the first half.
But how about this? They still almost won.
They should have won.
They should have won. They really should have won.
I think the refs
Do you have a problem with that last night?
I mean, listen, I've been saying the NFL is partly scripted.
You think it is?
Yeah.
You think there's some scripting going on there?
There's a lot of it, yeah. They do with it what's best for the ratings. And
all I'll say is,
nobody wants to see Cincinnati Eagles. They want to see the Kelce Bowl.
Did you have a problem with the late hit out of bounds flag?
It is definitely a flag.
Definitely. Like, right? To me, it's not even close. Why would you even be in his area code?
That's
right
what I'm
there?
Saying. It's definitely a flag. But it's almost like the guy got punished for playing hard. You know, he was just running to the ball. And you could see he's trying to slow up. He ended up actually hurting himself.
Yeah.
If you looked at his knee, it completely hyperextended.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing on that. That's a clear and obvious infraction to me. That one is a non-negotiable, hitting a quarterback out of bounds. However, holding, you know, things like that, some maybe like hands to the face.
Nonstop.
But that was it, man. It was all fourth quarter. It was like, stop throwing the flag. Just stop. Let him play a little bit. But,
well, that hands to the face, too, on a defensive lineman. He's trying to get off the block, and the guy's hanging on to him.
Hanging.
Just hanging on him, and they'd call him hands to the face instead of calling the offensive lineman for holding.
And then your boy Travis, after the game, goes out and shouts out to Cincinnati mayor. KJ, do you have that, where he's shouting out to Cincy mayor? We got it right here. Yeah, oh, here. Yeah, Kelce talking about Burrowhead.
Boom! Burrowhead my ass! It's Mahomes' house!
I got to tell you, even in Broncos country, that brought a big smile to my face because it was just like, that's what you're supposed to do.
That's what, yeah.
Someone comes out and talks that kind of smack. The mayor comes out and disrespects you. I don't care if you've got a 3-0 record against Patrick Mahomes. That's still Patrick freaking Mahomes, and you got to play him in his house. Good luck. Good luck. And look, Cincinnati, I'll say this, after watching yesterday's game, if Cincinnati this offseason doesn't go all in, spend whatever you can, move whatever assets you can to acquire as much talent as you possibly can to surround Joe Burrow with, then I don't know what the hell you're doing.
And it
there.
Starts on the offensive line.
Big time.
It's the offensive line. That's the only place that they're lacking.
Yeah, maybe a few pieces defensively, yeah, but pretty solid, man.
But still, they did a great job on defense still, holding them to 23 points.
Of course. Know? And the other thing about Cincy is you have to remember, their number one corner who played up at CU for college, Chidobe Awuzie, went down like midway through the year.
Yeah.
That was huge. And then for the Chiefs last night, losing Legarius Sneed on, what was it, the second play of the Cincinnati drive, their best corner goes out. And outside of that, they've got three rookie corners and two rookie safeties. So, I mean, way to step up by those guys.
How many rookies are starting on Kansas City's defense right now?
I have no idea off the top of my head, but it's a lot. I mean, you talk about Karlaftis there at outside edge. I mean,
he's
a star.
An animal.
Animal. I don't know how more guys didn't. I don't know why he didn't go earlier. He was coming out of Purdue in college, and there was a lot of buzz on him, but he fell. I think he might have been like a third-round pick, Karlaftis.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing, man. He's get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, that's true. So are you happy? You send him a text or not really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Well, I got a couple guys on the Chiefs team that I'm friends with.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah, who else?
Brandon Williams.
Okay.
Number 66, sure. Rose Guard.
Yeah.
We played in Baltimore together. Great friend of mine. Him and Travis are the two that I know the best, but, you know, a couple other guys that...
Is Travis the best tight end of all time?
Yeah,
like it's not close, is it?
I don't think it's close, man. How can it be?
I know
he's gonna shatter every record.
How do you view
first ballot Hall of Famer?
Oh, no question. Well, how do you view that position? Do you know? Is it more like you got to be an all around guy, or now because of the evolution of the NFL, it really is?
What kind of production? What kind of production do you have?
Right.
And he scores touchdowns, and he makes that team.
Right.
That team's not the same without him.
Oh, not even close. I mean, he's their guy. Think about this. And I remember being on the air the day that Tyreek got traded to the Dolphins and saying, what are you doing? That's Weapon X. That's the guy who takes your offense from really good to, oh, my God, we got to watch this every single week. But, man, I mean, you're talking about Marquez Valdes-Scantling had a big game. At the end, they were down to three healthy receivers for Kansas City. I thought that was super impressive, the way that they were able to kind of chicken wire and bandage everything together. And Mahomes, man, when it mattered most, there may have been a little bit of a hold there on the backside.
You think?
A little bit of a hold.
Whatever, though.
That's Will. That's Will right there. The guy can barely run, and he just, you know, grits it out and picks up that first down.
He can barely walk.
That's right. I mean, it was huge. So there's no surprise why they're in. And what about Philly and Jason Kelce, man? I mean, it wasn't really a game.
Well, that's the thing. I have a feeling that this is going to get a – I think that this game is – I think Philly shouldn't have lost any games this year, first of all.
Well, they were 16-1 in games Hurts played, so yeah. You're probably right.
Right.
Because the one loss was to Washington, wasn't it? Yeah, and they shouldn't have lost that football game either. Washington ate up the time of possession in that game middle of the season. I think it was a primetime game. But I thought Philly was the best team in the league all year.
All year.
I mean, what you see what they did defensively, adding Hassan Reddick, Kaiser White, Bradbury, and a couple other guys there along that defensive secondary and up front. And then you look on the offensive side of the ball. Think about the journey.
We can talk about Reddick. What was San Fran doing trying to block him with a tight end? Over and over again. I mean, how many times are you going?
When Josh Johnson finally got in there,
yeah. He
got hammered by Reddick. He just, the minute he picked his eyes up, Reddick was in his lap. Those are probably the best feelings as a defensive lineman. Like the quarterback does not know you're coming, but he's about to.
Oh, yeah.
It's like your life just flashes before your eyes type of thing.
It's like that, and then it's when you get back to right when the running back gets the ball in his hand.
That's right.
So he's like, and he's just, you see his eyes just light up.
Just
you know?
Light up, and you're like, oh, I got you, big.
Oh, yeah.
I got
over.
You, big daddy.
It's over, bud.
Yeah, it's over. But Chris Jones, I mean, I think we should talk about him just for briefly, because you played that interior position, but what they do is they move him all around. Like, you moved all around, too, but, right. I mean, they move him all around, and he is... When you look at him and Aaron Donald, is there a clear-cut one or two?
I mean, how can you?
I think you could make an argument for either one.
I think you can make an argument for either one. There's the two best.
Right.
You know?
And it's not even close. Like, there's nobody else.
And Aaron Donald has the Defensive Player of the Year awards and stuff like that. And like, but as far as how many years he's been dominating, I mean, he's been dominating for the last 4 years.
Has Aaron Donald had more talent around him than Chris Jones? Because they've had some good pass rush. Frank Clark was there for Justin Houston was there for a while. Willie Gay, they got there now. But then Aaron Donald had Vaughn and Robert Quinn, and they've had some really good pass rushers out there in L.A.
Yeah, but, dude.
Does it matter?
You can't even.
It doesn't matter.
Aaron Donald is a once-in-a-generation type of defensive lineman. He's just unbelievable.
Is that the most underrated, valuable position in the NFL, interior pass rush?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
To me, I think it is,
absolutely,
Derek.
Man. Listen, and a pass rusher that can stop the run as well. So if you're making plays in the run game, you're making plays, you're stopping, you're getting push on the pocket, you're affecting the quarterback. That's a direct line in his vision, right? It's not on the edge where if he can't step up, there's nothing he can do.
Right, right.
Nothing he can do. He can't get away.
He can't get away.
And if he doesn't feel like he can step into his throws, they're going to be short, and there's going to be turnovers from that. I mean, there's so many ways that an interior defense lineman can affect the game. More so even than an outside pass rusher,
sure.
I think.
Well, we'll get into these games some more, and I'm looking forward to getting some of your takeaways from them because I had a blast last night. It may have been controversial, but it was a heck of a lot of fun to watch, that's for sure. And it was capped off with the most perfect cherry on top you could ever think of.
So good. Woo! Girl hit my ass! Woo! It's my home's house!
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
So I collapse, I'm spilling these raps, long as you fill them to the day that I drop, you'll never say that I'm not killing
them. It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolfe and D-Mac.
Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni.
That was a great, great nightcap yesterday. But the Broncos coaching search is off and rolling, and we're going to be talking to our ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter here coming up in a few minutes. You're not going to want to miss that. The reports were fast and furious this weekend with this Broncos coaching search. And we had speculated last week that the Broncos needed to go back to Ann Arbor, needed to at least give it one more swing with Jim Harbaugh. Derek, Matt Smith in for DMAC today. He'll be back tomorrow. But the thing about these reports, because there were three separate reports, one from Schefter, one from Rappaport, and a confirmation from Kliss. So did it make you feel better that they did, in fact, go back to Ann Arbor to do their quote-unquote due diligence?
Yeah, I feel like they needed to do that. I mean, what are you going to do, right? The guy doesn't want to come coach in the NFL, then, you know, whatever. But at least we tried, right?
Right, right. But then I got to thinking over the weekend, Derek, because you and I were on Friday when Kliss came on with us and mentioned that there could be unknowns, some mystery candidates, right? So I did some work here, and I want to run some of these names by you, okay? I spent all weekend, all right? And you see this list. It's
yeah,
a,
you got to, yeah.
If the mystery,
it's a lot of people.
If the mystery candidate is not on this list, then it's going to be way the hell out of left field, yeah. All right? All right, so here are some of the candidates they
interviewed. Hold on. Yeah, how did you come up with these names? Like, what process did you go through?
No problem. I grouped them into three parts. Candidates they interviewed last year but did not interview this year. Other rumored coordinators for other jobs around the league this year that had been tied to or at least discussed as possibly becoming a head coach. And then the third grouping were other former head coaches that they have not talked to. Okay?
Okay.
Pretty simple. Three groups there. Among the candidates they did interview last year and did not interview this year, Aaron Glenn, Detroit's defensive coordinator. Nah, that ain't on the list. Luke Getsy, he's Chicago's OC now. That's not on the list. Gerard Mayo, New England's inside linebackers coach. That's not on the list. Jonathan Gannon, Philly's DC. I know there are some reports out there, Derek, but I just refuse, and it's the same reason why I refuse to believe D'Amico Ryans was ever strongly considered or involved, is because they cannot hire a first-time defensive guy for the state of the franchise right now. You just can't do it, in my opinion.
Why do you think that?
Because I think you need someone who has experience building a culture, and I think it's really hard to get that with a first-time guy, especially when you have a veteran quarterback who's going through a bit of a crisis like Russell Wilson is right now, which it's a personal crisis. Got to figure out how the hell he's supposed to play football again. It's a big one, right?
So well, I think it's a scheme crisis.
I think that's part of it,
yeah,
right?
It's all about the scheme.
But I also think you need that experienced coach who's kind of seen a bunch of different schemes and had experience in those to be able to best suit Russ to one of them. No?
I'd have to agree.
Okay. So any of those, just stop me if any of these names intrigue you. Does Jonathan Gannon intrigue you, Philly's defensive coordinator?
A little bit.
All right. So I'll put him on the list, okay? Kevin O'Connell, no, because, well, that would have been nice last year, but he's in Minnesota as their head coach. And then Bieniemy, and that's not happening.
Yeah,
that will not happen. So out of that group, we've got Jonathan Gannon, but that's a maybe. Yes from you, nah from me, but right. Or maybe it's a maybe from you. You're like lukewarm on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. All right. So,
yeah, I'd say.
So we got one guy out of that list. Okay, right. So pretty much you eliminate that entire grouping, in my opinion. I don't really believe in the Brian Callahan Cincinnati OC reports either. No. I just, this late in the process, that would look desperate and weird. Rumored coordinators that were not interviewed here but were maybe interviewed in other places or at least discussed. Mike Kafka, New York's OC. I'm intrigued by that because he was Mahomes' right-hand man. He's creative. If you're looking for an offensive mind, that could intrigue. Shane Steichen, Philly. Same thing, but you'd have to wait 2 weeks, I think, to interview him because you didn't interview him originally. So I don't think they're going to wait that long, Derek. I just don't. Kellen Moore, he's now in Los Angeles as their OC. Ken Dorsey.
Yeah, I had him on. I was like kind of looking out for him because I thought maybe they were.
That maybe he left or mutually agreed to part ways with Dallas because he's coming here.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought he was going to at least interview, but it doesn't even look like they interviewed him. So.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But he's offensive coordinator.
Right. Then I had Ken Dorsey, Buffalo. Nah, you see how bad that offense struggled with being one-dimensional. Shane Waldron, Seattle's OC. That name on here was just for me, really, because I'd love to imagine the scenario in which George Payton had to pick up the phone once again and call Seattle GM John Schneider.
Mm.
That would have been a hell of a phone call. John, are you there? Yeah, who is this? It's it's George Payton. George, my buddy! That's how I met.
I wanted to thank you again.
Yeah,
bud.
You know what? Who do you think we should take with the fifth pick? Leslie Frazier, Buffalo's DC? I don't think so. Even though he is a former coach, there's no momentum there. I don't see it. And then Daryl Bevel, I thought that was an interesting name.
Daryl Bevel.
He was the former OC for Seattle for two Super Bowls with Russ. He's the passing game coordinator now in Miami. I think it's an interesting name.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Can he bring in somebody that can help the run game here in Denver? They had a good running game there. I know.
But they had Beast Mode.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You got Marshawn Lynch. Man.
That's right.
And we got some good running backs.
So do you like any of these names? Kafka, New York's OC?
I like that.
Yeah. And then you like Bevel.
And I like Bevel because of the anybody that's had success with around or with Russell Wilson, I think is a good should be a candidate.
I do too. Absolutely. I do too. And there were talks that if Dan Quinn were to come here, then Bevel would be joining him as offensive coordinator.
That was what I wanted.
That's what you wanted. That would have been nice. I could have seen that working out, but that's not the way they're going here. All right, here's some other former head coaches. Now there's going to be some long shots in here, so stop me if you like any of them, okay? Brian Flores, Steve Wilks, Jason Garrett, Bill Cowher, Herm Edwards, either of the Grudens, although you would never, Rex Ryan, Gus Bradley, Bruce Arians, Marvin Lewis, Chuck Pagano, Mike McCoy, Mike Munchak, Brian Billick, and then Mike Shanahan. Who intrigues you out of those?
None of them get me excited.
None of them?
None of them.
What about Jason Garrett?
No.
Yeah, he can flirt with Maria Taylor on NBC. Stay there. I'm good with it. Herm Edwards, nope.
No.
Would be funny to watch. Bruce Arians.
That is the only name that kind of intrigues me.
Yeah, because he's not. I mean, he's in Tampa's front office now in some capacity, I think. I don't think he's actually
He doesn't want to coach.
I don't know.
You think he wants to coach?
I think he might. The other one that intrigues me, I got to be honest with you, is Mike Shanahan, man. It intrigues me. You know why? Because it just checks boxes. You're talking about, a splash hire that is an instant win with the fan base. I know he's older, and I know Schlereth has said, hey, look, I don't know if this guy's going to coach while Kyle is in the league, and maybe that's true. But if he's open to it, Derek, are you going to turn down Mike Shanahan?
How long has it been since he coached?
17, I want to say.
That's only. Dude, it's so out of touch with what's going on.
6 years. Well, he's not because he's involved a lot, with what San Francisco's doing.
Yeah.
I guess he is consulting, is what Schlereth said this morning on the morning show, that he is consulting.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he is consulting.
See, if he's consulting, then I think that we should absolutely be taking a look at that.
Shouldn't we?
Yeah, be dumb not to. It would be wildly.
Do you think Penner's had conversations with him, throughout this process? Because I wrote a piece a few months ago I advocated for the firing of Nathaniel Hackett after the Baltimore game, before the first Kansas City game, so you actually had some time left in the season to see what you had here. And part of what I would have done was either brought in Kubiak or Shanahan as a consultant, gave him X amount, and said, hey, look, I just want you around the facility a couple of days over the next few weeks. I'm going to give you X amount, and at the end, you give me your scouting report. What do you think I should do? What does this franchise need? X, Y, and Z. But you've reached a point where you probably got two no's from Harbaugh, right? That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
You got shot down by D'Amico Ryans, most likely.
I mean, I wouldn't say shot down. It's just that he's got a better situation.
So you got a no from D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, it's a no.
Okay, so you got two no's that we think you got two no's, right? I don't think they got a no from Sean Payton because I still think he's on the table.
Yeah, definitely.
Dan Quinn is back to Dallas.
Yeah, he's out.
And then David Shaw and Caldwell are out. As we heard last week, reports are they were told that they're going in different directions along with Raheem Morris and Ejiro Evero. So you're kind of at this stage where your option two is still there, but option one is gone, option three is gone, and you got a guy here in your backyard, Dirk.
He's right here.
He's right in your backyard. What is he now, 70? We're talking about Caldwell. Caldwell's 68.
Yeah, but
Mike's still full of piss and vinegar, isn't he?
I don't know.
I don't know the guy either.
Yeah, I don't know him, so I don't know.
I think it's interesting.
It's definitely something to look at, but
yeah, maybe it's a long shot.
But I just think we got to go a little younger, just for longevity. We need we need a coach that's going to be here for 5 to 10 years,
So the names we had, you said you maybe lukewarm on Gannon, Mike Kafka, Daryl Bevel. And maybe Shanny?
Yeah.
I think that's not a bad mystery list if you were trying to expand your coaching search,
That's a good list. It's a good.
Let's kick it around with our NFL insider, Adam Schefter. We'll do it next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolfe and D-Mac.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna
Happy
be
Monday,
a
y'all.
Good, good
Matt Smith in for D-Mac. D-Wolf handling a little business. You know that man. Goes out and takes down a mountain beast. And now everybody wants a piece of the wolf. Good to be D-Wolf right now, that's for sure. Good to be a Kelsey, too, because both of you are going to the Super Bowl. I heard an old clip of them kind of discussing, you know, who their mom was going to root for. I thought that was fascinating. And Jason was telling Travis that he thinks that mom will be rooting for him because he's actually got the grandkids.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Is
I'm
it?
I'm sure it's true.
Is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, that's got to be a tough position as a parent, right? You know one of your children's going to be heartbroken, but you're also one of your kids' best day, one of their best days of their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll have a jersey with both of their numbers on it, you know? Like,
yeah, the split jerseys.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is only okay for parents of athletes on both teams.
Right.
That it is not okay if your brother plays, your husband plays. Like, no, you've got to be a parent.
Yeah.
To me, that's like one of my rules. Like, absolutely not. We're going to be talking to Adam Schefter here in a minute, but we were talking about some of these mystery candidates, and we had come up with an interesting list of potentially Jonathan Gannon, but again, just a young defensive guy. I don't think there's any way you can do it. I just don't.
I'm really surprised you don't have Kubes on that list.
Put him on the list? What do you think about Gary Kubiak?
I think you should put him on the list. I mean,
is he living here now, or is he down in Texas?
He still lives in Texas, yeah.
Okay. That's interesting, Gary
He's around.
Kubiak. He is around. How's he doing health-wise?
He's doing well. I saw him at Ronnie's funeral.
Oh, he did? Okay.
And then I saw him. He was at my retirement party as well, so.
All's well there? Because yeah. What was it, heart issues that he had?
I think he just was overworked, man.
Overworked.
Stressed out.
I mean, that's the life of an NFL coach. It's
yeah,
not
it's stressful,
easy.
Man.
So Kubiak, that's interesting. I didn't have that one on there. I can't believe I didn't have that one on there. That one's going on. That one's going on the list with a Kafka, with a Bevel. Right? Oh, I had some out-of-the-box ideas. You want to hear my out-of-the-box ideas, or should I save these?
I love out-of-the-box.
I had some really interesting out-of-the-box ideas. I'll give you one right now. I'll give you one right now. Okay, a little tease while we wait for Schefter here. Stop trying to trade for Sean Payton and try and trade for Mike McDaniel, and then have Miami send that first-round pick to New Orleans for Sean Payton, and Sean Payton ends up in Miami.
I love that idea.
That's not a bad call, is it? It's out of the box.
I think he would be great for Russell Wilson, too.
I do, too. McDaniel?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he'd be really good.
I think it'd be great for him.
Because what's part of it, right? You need to put him in the right scheme, but you also need to build confidence in the guy.
Yeah, he'd be out there vaping.
Yeah, exactly. Bring his jewel right to Colorado.
Fit
right in with the rest of us. That's for sure. So that I thought was interesting because it's like, you know, we're getting to the stage in this coaching search where I'm of the opinion you believe, you know, none of what you hear and half of what you see. And in this situation, the Broncos want experience. And I know Mike McDaniel's younger, right? Obviously, he's only done it for a year. But if Miami's dumb enough to move on from him, you should be the beneficiary of that, given that he's a local kid that you didn't even interview last year. I always thought that Mike McDaniel would be the guy that would come into the interview, just look totally disheveled, like bloodshot eyes. You could tell that he'd been mainlining Red Bulls like the night before. And he probably hadn't prepared for the interview up until like 10, right? Like 10 o'clock, you're meeting at 8 o'clock. Here he comes, you know, glasses on, just like the guy's just frazzled. But then he lays out the most genius plan you've ever seen because that's just the dude he is.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, he's like one of those guys you would never, it's the typical case of don't judge a book by its cover. To me, that's how I see him.
I do too.
He seems like a cool guy.
Yeah.
Like somebody.
Well, those guys react great to him. You know, like,
totally.
Look what he did down there, you know?
Right. And he's also not overflowing and vomiting happiness.
Right.
Which, look, I think there's something to be said for being positive and energetic and uplifting, kind of like Nathaniel Hackett was. But if you don't have another gear to it, and that's all you are, you're not going to be a successful coach. And I think that's part of the reason why I didn't work out here for Hackett. I mean, after a few days removed, do you feel any better or worse for Jets fans that they have Nathaniel Hackett now?
I feel bad for him.
I do, too.
Because
I really feel bad
well,
for him.
Well, they're not going to – I don't think Rodgers is going to go up there and –
I don't either.
I
Who
think
would
want to
play
crazy.
For the Jets?
This guy got a head coaching job and another job just based. And listen, I like Nathaniel Hackett. Like,
yeah.
I think he's a good dude.
Good
but
dude.
I think that idea that he's going to bring Aaron Rodgers up there, I think that like they should have learned from our mistakes there.
Do you think other candidates saw the spin coming out of New York and saw political war and were like, huh, I wonder what's going on behind the scenes in Denver that maybe I didn't pick up on in the interview? Because that was the spin, right? It was he lost the political war, and they pretty much pinned it on Russ. That was basically what happened,
more
or less.
Which I don't disagree with. I think that Hackett got a bad. I think what happened here was that Russ got all the power,
mm-hmm.
and he got to run the kind of offense he wanted to run.
Yeah,
and then Hackett wasn't even calling plays; he was doing nothing.
Nothing.
Right? He was doing nothing.
He was trying to get the crowd involved, Derek.
Yeah, like he even said, like, I don't even know what to do. You know, like,
I've never seen a head coach. Well, maybe that's not true. There maybe on one hand I could count them. The head coaches I've seen look to the crowd at an NFL game and try and fire
that's
up the
insane.
Crowd.
Never seen that before.
Never, man.
I can't remember.
You've got a gazillion things going on in your headset and on the field, and you've got, you know, 11 guys on the field at all time. You got 53 guys on the sideline, coaches, support staff. How the hell do you have time to cheerlead?
It's insane.
It was insane.
That just shows you that he just like.
He didn't know, man.
He's like, I'm just going to give up all this. I don't even know.
And then he straight up came into the press conference and was like, yeah, I really didn't know what to do. It's kind of like Will Ferrell
like,
and Talladega Nights.
I kept going to touch the button.
That's right. It wasn't there. It's like Will Ferrell and Talladega Nights. What do I do with my hands?
I'm not sure what to do with my hands.
That's what it felt like with Nathaniel Hackett here at the helm, didn't it? And that's
exactly
what it really felt like. So for me, I go back to experienced candidate. Who knows how to build a culture. Stop trying to copy and paste culture with other assistants and coordinators. I do believe there was a bit of that going on with Hackett here. I think, especially with that red zone offense in Seattle week one, that's the stuff that Rodgers ran. That's not the stuff that Wilson ran. You could tell they're in the shotgun on the 1 yard line. That's never been Russell Wilson's game.
And when he does, he throws a pick.
Lost him a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Straight up.
So why would you do it?
And that's why, and it kept happening the first few weeks. And I said, gosh, this doesn't look like the stuff that we were told we were getting, the Shanahan offense, right? The wide zone, this boot action rollout game. You know, we didn't see much of that. It was more of what Green Bay was running, where it was how many throws to Javonte Williams in week one? Didn't he have like 11 catches?
Yeah.
He had like 11. That's what Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon do in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I was always scratching my head. It's like, stop trying
he was
to copy
brought,
and paste.
Listen, that's the problem. Hackett got, He came here because he was supposed to bring Aaron Rodgers here.
He was.
That didn't happen. They got Russell Wilson. He tried to run Aaron Rodgers' offense with Russell Wilson. Didn't work.
I really believe that's what happened.
I guarantee that's what happened.
Yeah. And then because there was this whole narrative, it's like, well, Russ wants to run his stuff. It's like, no, I don't think that's Russ's stuff. I think that's Rodgers' stuff that Russ cannot run.
He wants to stay in the pocket, right?
Right.
He wants to stay
right.
in the pocket. He wants to play for another 10 years and win
right.
a bunch of Super Bowls
right.
and be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
But that's not your game, bud.
No.
You got to get out of the pocket, move, use your legs. That's what got you to this point. Keep doing that.
Even the guys who were banged up yesterday, Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, the two guys in the Super Bowl, big plays with their feet. Even Philly, that in the second half, the drive where they went down and put it away, it was all Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
It was like two straight QB sneaks, and this dude's injured, and you're up by 21. What are you doing? It was like the, hey, Sirianni, maybe stop running your injured quarterback challenge. Think you could do that?
Yeah.
Think you could do that, pal? But that's if you have the lead, right? The Broncos are not in that position, so you got to use the tools at your fingertips to be able to implement your best skills for this team. And for Russ, it's going to be moving around. It's just the bottom line.
I think, yeah. And I think they did a disservice to Russ as well, letting him do that kind of stuff, right? Like, you know, the first 2 weeks, I think there was a 10 or 11 delay of game penalties.
Right.
Like that's because they didn't practice and they didn't practice hard and they didn't play any preseason games. Like you have to do, when you have a brand new offense with brand new players, you have to do that. And they didn't. And it was a mistake. And I think Hackett made a lot of mistakes that
I wish
he could have gone back and redone.
And that's why I'm so hard up on not a first-time guy. I don't want any more learning on the job. There's no time for that.
No,
all right?
It's now or never.
Big story of the day coming up next.
What's up, guys? Derek Wolf here. If you're trying to plan out your holiday feast this year, I've got the plan for you. Bison meat from my friends at Great Range Premium Bison. Bison meat will add a unique flavor to everything from your holiday meals to your tailgate chili, and it's healthier than other red meats, too. It's flavorful, clean, and hearty with some nice, sweet-tasting undertones. Telling you guys, once you try it, you'll be hooked. Plus, you can check out tons of awesome recipes at greatrangebison.com. So pick some up today at your local grocery store. Trust me, you'll love the taste of Great Range Premium Bison this holiday season.